Welcome to the Nahrain Network podcast series. We're here today with Dr. Ali Naji from Kufa University, who has just completed a Nahrain Network British Institute for the Study of Iraq scholarship, UCL, University College London. Hello, Dr. Ali, how are you?
Hello, Dr. Mihyar. It is nice to talk to you and talk to the audience about this scholarship.
Could you tell us first about what you do, the position you have in Kufa University?
I am Ali Naji Atiya, assistant professor at civil engineering department in Kufa University. I'm working on structural engineering, my specialty, since 2000, where I got my PhD from University of Baghdad. But my interest in heritage and cultural heritage, and both types, tangible and intangible heritage, started to increase day by day, let me say, since 2003, when the Iraq regime changed and a lot of things, new things for Iraqi people started to attract their interest. And one of them is the heritage and how to keep the heritage of Iraq.
You're an engineer by training.
Yes, I am civil engineer and my specialty is structural engineering.
And you said that after 2003, you're increasingly interested in cultural heritage in Iraq. What kind of work have you done since then in the country?
I'm living in the city of Najaf, and maybe it is well known for many people around the world. It is a heritage city, and there is a very important monument inside the historic part of the city, which is the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In the beginning, let me say honestly that some people invited me to preserve or to make some drawings for this building, because as you know, everything was lost from the governmental authorities and also other authorities. So I started with my students to document the shrine buildings, which were at that time there's no even one map for this important building. But later, my interest improved, let me say like that, and developed for more or higher stage, not to think about how to keep the stone, but how to keep the cultural value of the stone. And this is when I talk during the interview in more details.
What do you mean by stones? Are you talking about the physical heritage?
Yes, exactly. Stones, I mean, there's the physical heritage or the building itself.
And your research has been to find ways of looking both at tangible and intangible heritage.
Yes, exactly. Because if we just look to the physical material without shedding the light about the value of this material, for example, in the beginning, as you know, a lot of people came to visit the city. Millions of people came every year, and maybe several millions in one day or a couple of days visit this place or this small place inside the historic part of the city. The main question at that time is why we do not demolish the new building, because this building was built 400 years ago. This is now the nowadays building. It belongs to the same style, the same finishing, the same material from 400 years ago. And at that time, maybe thousands of people came to the city. But now we have millions of people came to the city. So the question always, why we do not demolish this building and build a very large one to make available area for worship for those millions of people? And maybe I can say also, in the beginning, I am thinking in the same way, that all the buildings should have a function, and the function is make a space which is comfortable for people to do what they want to do. For example, for this building, to do worship. But later, when I, for example, go more in depth in the cultural heritage and what was kept by all generations for us, for example, like values and something like that, and the values are related 100% to the, for example, style of building, to the type of finishing, or for example, the old doors and windows and the calligraphy and everything. And I found that I should have two objectives for any one, engineer or not engineer, should think in two ways. How to make space for millions of people, and at the same time, how to keep the things which are valuable for the people, for the identity of those people at the same time. So this is really the challenge for anyone working in this field. As you know, maybe several hundred years ago, there was some, we say, problems or fighting between two main empires at that time, which is the Ottoman Empire and also the Safavi Empire. We say in history, we read, and there are, for example, dark times and there are good times. There are peace in some years between the two empires, and sometimes there are battles and problems between them. And when I read the history of the holy shrines in Iraq, the majority of construction done in the past, it was in this peace period between those empires. So this is the real fact, how those buildings were built in the past. As an engineer, as you now see from my statements, I am talking about history, and maybe later I will talk about maybe the architecture, and later I will talk about the cultural value and so on, or the social context. In the beginning, I am thinking just an engineer. So just think how to make those bricks and the mortar and the walls, how to keep them stand for, let me say, the coming 100 years. Just think in that way, how to analyze the structure, how to make the structure, this old structure, can withstand, for example, blast explosions, which happens many times in the city in the past 10 years, or, for example, the wind load, or the load of millions of people, and so on. Think in that way, which is the engineering mind. But as I said, later, I found myself have interest in those things, for example, the history of the place, the value of the place, because you cannot think just in this physical thing without merging those other fields with the same idea. Because this place, I can say this place is a good example for multidisciplinary fields to study it from different directions. Because if you study it from one direction or one view, I think you will destroy other angles of view, for example, the history, the value, and so on.
A significant amount of cultural infrastructure buildings have been torn down since 2003, and there's been a number of important buildings that have been replaced, transformed. What do people think about what's happening in Najaf, particularly in relation to some of these historic buildings?
Yes, the problem is sometimes, let me say, the heritage of people, especially in Iraq, is not the health of anyone. If it exists, you don't feel it. But if you lost it in one time, you will feel that you lose a very important thing. And this happened many times. For example, let me say, a part of the old city was demolished since the 80s during the past regime. The idea at that time to build an open space and a new project named Medina Tuzairin, or the city of pilgrims. But for example, at that time, the bulldozer came and demolished all the city with all the buildings, let me say like that. The important building, the beautiful buildings, the old buildings, all of them. The houses, schools, mosques, everything. The problem is without also any documentation of those buildings in this part or in this area. Later, after 2003, the people feel this great or this huge losses they lost. This, for example, 20 years ago or less. Now, for example, when someone wants to write about Madrasat al-Akhund or al-Akhund school, which was in this demolished part of the city, they tried, for example, to searching in books or something like that, or some description of the building or what is written in the walls and so on, because there is no documentation. I'm afraid that maybe 20 years later, when we, I don't hope that this will happen, when we lose, for example, many things inside this, also the coming generation will ask, where's the documentation, drawings, and so on, and maybe found a set, a statement here or a word here, and this is the problem. So now the people, they didn't feel what are happening every day to their city because they are living in it. But maybe later, when many things will be gone, unfortunately, they feel the, what they lost.
Would you identify the situation in Najaf as an emergency situation when it comes to the protection documentation of these very important buildings?
Yes, but the our problem in Najaf, let me say it is harder than Mosul, for example. Even now you are seeing maybe all the lower international interest about Mosul and what happened by ISIS to Mosul, but it is very clear why, because it is, you have an enemy and the enemy came and destroyed your history and your heritage, and you can get, for example, help from all the international globe. But in our case, the problem, we are destroying our heritage by our hands, let me say like that. Those new construction, new projects, buildings, new hotels, high buildings, higher than the Dome of the Shrine and so on, those are not built by enemy. And many people said, for example, in the city or outside the city, let us develop our city. Why you are stopping us? Why you are making limitations for us to make the city is better and better? What about, for example, Mecca and Medina? Those two cities are also holy cities, and everything was destroyed, and no one talk, and no one have objection at that time. And now they can, for example, give a place or space for millions of pilgrims and hajjaj and so on. What about them? So this is our problem. This is our, let me say, hard problem. How to make this have the good interest and attract the international help like what happened in Mosul? This did not happen for Najaf, unfortunately.
Is the Mecca model, if you like, the destruction that we've seen in Mecca, something that is often spoken about in Najaf amongst the heritage community there? Is it something that is seen as negative to Najaf itself? I mean, you've mentioned it as a case study. Are people knowledgeable about what's happened in Mecca? And is it something that frightens the authorities, the heritage community, academics in Najaf? I mean, what kind of conversations are happening in relation to that case study in Najaf?
Yes, and let me say that we have two directions or two views for what happened in Mecca and Medina as well. With the view of the specialist, that is one, and the view of, let me say, ordinary or the public or the people who are not specialists. The view of the specialist, all of them mentioned that Mecca and Medina is a negative. I wrote a lot what happened on the Islamic world and also international world in the journals and scientific articles, that what happened in Mecca and Medina is a negative example for the old cities or the heritage cities, because when you finish everything, you just read the history in the books. There is no any sign of the history or testimony in the history. For example, as all the places or old mosques and something where there are memories of those, for example, let me say, the people at that time, the early Muslims, for example, or the Prophet himself and so on. But the other, for example, who are not, as you know, the interest in heritage for public, let me say, not specialists, It needs the people living in an open-minded way, and also in a level which is higher than the level of humanity. There is no problems of humanity. Unfortunately, our people in the Middle East are living in not in the same way like the people in the West or the people in the East. They are suffering from many things important for them, for example, the daily life, the food, the health, and so on. those type of people, you cannot talk with them about the heritage and the importance of heritage and so on, because they have a priority in their life. They are thinking in how to solve their problems, and later, as you see now, the wars everywhere in Syria, Yemen, etc., and the unsettled political situation in many places. So it is difficult to say to them have interest in heritage. But in my view, if they are living good way, I think they will care about those things. They will think about the importance of those, for example, buildings and their history and their heritage and so on. The main step should be done is to solve the people problems of life everywhere. For example, in Najaf, let me come back to my case study. In Najaf, it is difficult, for example, to talk with one has an old house inside the city and say to him, do not demolish your house and build a multi-story building to be a hotel, because the hotel is very good investment for such person. And this valuable place, even if it is maybe 50 square meter, it is very important for him to improve his life. So I think we shall first improve his life and let him don't to think in doing this and building a new building and, for example, multi-story building and so on. And I think this is the objective of sustainable development. For example, if we can plan for him a project, how to use, for example, his house, also an investment, maybe a hotel or elsewhere, or any cultural events and so on, and gain money and improve his life in a better way, I think we will succeed now to make the people themselves keep their heritage, not to, for example, bring an army or make rules and laws and so on, and to enforce people to keep the heritage.
And so you're speaking about education, advocacy, other forms?
Yes, everything. Let me start from education, of course. Yes, everything.
But if the state institutions are weak in terms of advocacy and education, who else could do this? Is it the role of civil society, cultural groups in Najaf?
Yes, of course. I think they should have an important role in this direction, because I think now people in Iraq starting to use, let me say, the campaigns and so on, use the social media and NGOs and so on. Those are new things, but I think it now started to work very well. Maybe in the past 10 years, it was weak and maybe just get a grant from here and there. And the projects are not the ground. But I think since October, last October, and the movement of the young people, the movement of in every direction, let me say like that, not only in the political direction, make people think in a new way, how to change. They are now, I think, have the courage to change the situation and how to ask for their rights and so on. I think they will have an important role in the coming days. Yeah.
You're speaking here about the protests.
It's a new era for Iraq. Started last October. Yes, it is maybe focused in the beginning in very, let me say, very limited area like jobs and so on and electricity. But later and very fast, changed to another thing. It's changed to have, as I said, it is the desire of change. And this is important, how you are not giving up and thinking always in change. And this will go to the spread in everywhere and all, for example, people, not only young people, also NGOs, maybe authorities and so on. They have now the courage to change.
Just going back to some of the things you've been speaking about, have you discussed some of your ideas regarding documentation, protection, rules and regulations, perhaps they exist but are not implemented, with state authorities, with the governorate in Najaf?
Yes, of course. We had a lot of meetings, presentations. Every time, for example, when you are thinking to organize a conference and so on, the first people thinking about to invite them is the governorate and the governor and the authorities and the state board of archaeology and heritage spa and all people related from the formal point of view about those, for example, buildings or properties, zones, etc. But I can say honestly, their reactions are very weak. It not depends on themselves, man. They are not believing heritage or something like that. But it depends on the weakness of all the system. Let me say, Iraq has no policy for culture, has no policy, for example, for tourism, for maybe Iraq only thinks in how to build an army or how to sell the oil and the economy. And unfortunately, the other things like culture and tourism and many important things in such a civilized country with a great history, I can say they postpone it for later, maybe later governments, later parliaments and so on. So, and this is why our system is, you know, for example, as evidence for my speech, that the Ministry of Archaeology and Tourism started as a corporation and then was a ministry and later cancelled and merged with other Ministry of Culture and so on. And we don't know later what will happen to this ministry. Always sharing the positions between political parties, for example, make this ministry ignored. No one want to take it, for example. They divided the ministries into, let me say, high-rank ministries and low-rank ministries. Unfortunately, education and higher education and culture, those are low-rank ministries. So when you see this, this is the policy of the whole country, you will expect that you will have weak system dealing with such properties and such buildings and so on.
And if we can speak about your scholarship, could you tell us a bit about the topics, the themes that you've looked at?
My host was Bartlett School of Architecture. It was well known in the field of architectural engineering. And my supervisor is a professor, Edward Dennison. He helped me a lot. For example, I attended some of the presentation of his PhD students, one from Egypt and the other from India. And those two were working on, maybe, let me say, the same idea about the value of the place, but the first in Egypt and the second in India. Yeah. And make use of many information. And also I have a lot of meetings with others by the help of Professor Dennison. My scholarship proposal was how to increase the awareness of the local communities to the importance of heritage. And the methodology used in my proposal is to link the tangible and intangible heritage inside the city, and the practices inside the city for all communities. I met a lot of persons and gave many presentations in many places and universities, and also got feedback from those audience and those presentations. And I think it will bring new ideas for me when I come back to Iraq to think in how to implement this proposal, because it is just a proposal, or let me say hypotheses. It needs surveying and data from the field to ask people about this thing, about the tangible and intangible values in their daily life. So I think now I'm ready, and my university is ready to do that, provided that we have a good grant to implement this project in the city of Najaf. If we succeed to do that in Najaf, I think it will be a good example for all the cultural heritage in all Iraqi cities, because the Iraqi are the same in any city, but maybe a little difference in the practices and the identity and so on. But I think we can bring the interest of all Iraqis to their heritage.
Could you tell us a bit about the relationship between tangible and intangible heritage? What are the type of conclusions you've come to in based on your experience in Iraq and your research here in the UK, and how that can contribute towards the sustainable development of heritage in Negev?
Let me say it like that. If we imagine that the tangible heritage is a circle and the intangible heritage is another circle, I think those circles have a common area. There is an interaction between them, and there is a common area between those types of heritage. This common area, I can't mention it by this term. It is the spirit of place, or the value of place for people. If we can explore this idea in the places where the Iraqi people are live now, especially the older places, I think we can get this common area between tangible and intangible. And if we promote for this idea, and for example, make the people have more interest in this idea of the spirit of place, they will improve their life. And I will say to you how to do that, because you mentioned the sustainable development. A lot of people now, for example, in Negev especially, their living is dependent on the value of the place. For example, let me say now, take an example, the cemetery. The cemetery is very important to the city from the economical point of view. Let me mention that, because also from the cultural point of view, it is very important, because Wadi Salam is now a very famous place in all over the world as a huge cemetery, but maybe little know about the economical value of this place for the city. A lot of hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, are working in this place in many practices. All those practices, or let me say small works, it depends on heritage. For example, the rituals of or funeral, for example, rituals where the families bring the body, and then what to do, and when they are visiting this body, for example, after 7 days and then 40 days and so on, what are they doing? They are using some materials, so for example, like candles and so on, and for example, using water and types of water and so on. All those things, practices, are opportunity of work, and a lot of people doing that as a part of the work. But it was done now, let me say, randomly, without planning. Sometimes may affecting other things, for example, affecting the traffic, for example, the easy of the movement of those people inside the cemetery and so on. So if we have a plan for example, how to make all those business and works, how to improve them in a good way, for example, in a modern tools, and I think it will help life of those people to be more better than now.
You're currently in London, but you plan to go back to Iraq quite soon. And what are your ideas regarding the type of work you intend to do?
Yes, many things in my mind. Maybe some of them are easy to do, and some of them may be difficult to do. Let me say that. For example, maybe the easy to do, for example, to write an article about this subject. Because I wrote some articles and published in conferences and in presentations. I'm also presented in many countries and universities. But I think it should be now in more detail, to go in more detail in this subject. This one thing. The other thing, which is maybe the main objective for me, is to implement this proposal, because implementations, let me say it in very fast way, we should collect data from the field. I am thinking in using our students in different colleges, like College of Engineering, College of Urban Planning, and College of Heritage and Archaeology, and other maybe College of Administration, and we have a good department of NGOs. Those students, we should train them how to make interviews for local people inside the city, and also the pilgrims and the workers and so on, to identify the spirit of place and the value of place for them. And the value of place, not only the place, it also contains the buildings and maybe the narrow routes between buildings and the old fabric of the city and the shrine itself and so on. So those data are very important. I just mentioned very simple example from cemetery, from the old city, which has very clear practices done every day. But I, from my point of view, there are a lot of hidden values, maybe unknown for those people living in the city. I do not mention the cleric people or the, let me say, the students of religious studies. Those are also very important community inside the city. They have high values for, as I say, this Al-Hawza Al-Almiya, this is a very well-known scientific university, but it's not classical university. Maybe it is thousand years ago started in this place. And also they have traditions in the way of study and dressing and in living and so on. And all of those things, those practices are related to the old city, to this small place, which is the historic part of the city. So how to make interview and train students to do interview with them, and what are the data collected from them, then classify this data and then analyze it in tangible and intangible and so on. As I mentioned in my proposal, I think this is the main objective for me, and I'm searching, maybe I will search for a grant for one of the organizations which give grants for such projects, and then start to implement it soon. The third objective, which may be more difficult or it needs time to be implemented, is to establish, let me say, some organizations or some establishment who are important for heritage. For example, ECOMOS of Iraq. I met during this trip the president of ECOMOS UK, and she gave me a lot of information about this thing and the importance to have an ECOMOS chapter or ECOMOS branch to our country. So one of the ideas also to establish ECOMOS Iraq. Also at the same time, because we mentioned in this interview, me and you, that we agreed we should solve many problems for the people to keep the heritage. And this needs multidisciplinary team, which maybe, for example, bring one from history, other from archaeology, the third engineer, the fourth maybe planner, and so on, economy. And those people sit together and implement some strategies and research and the plans to improve the life of people. I think this needs to establish a research center or research unit in our university. And in my mind, I'd maybe name it Center of Cultural Heritage Studies, and without adding any words, to be general, to bring all those people together to work in this research center and maybe participate in solving the problems of people. And let me say, it is very maybe strange for the audience. Maybe one of the most important problems for the people is the transportation. I saw here, for example, in London, the transportation problem was solved first for people. And later, for example, they can keep heritage in some examples inside, especially the old part of London city. The transportation always is a problem for the people. For example, now the old part of the city or the historic part of the city, it is difficult to go to this place, for example, or to have maybe a visit or work and so on, because the public transportation is very weak, and also the streets are very small, and we didn't have, like here in London, tube and tunnel and underground and so on, and solve the problem in a very brilliant way to make millions of people move inside the city, and you cannot feel there is a crowds here on there. Maybe only the rush hour at the morning and the afternoon you feel that, but other times there's no problem. In Najaf, for example, at the time of ziyarat or pilgrims, all the roads are blocked, and the people have a lot of problem to do to complete their daily life in such days and so on. So I think establishing a research center, which should be multidisciplinary, not research for only archaeology or history or something like that. No, should be general research center.
In addition to your scholarship, you're also a grantee. You've been awarded a small grant from the Nahrain Network. Could you tell us a bit about the grant? What kind of project are you planning to pursue in Iraq?
Yes. At the same time when I came here, in fact, before my visiting scholarship, my university, let me say, represented by me, and also University of Koç, represented by a very wonderful professor named Manar Çiğdem, Çiğdemmayar, and we proposed to get a grant from Nehri Network, £30,000, to document and to make a conservation plan for several buildings inside Kufa city. Because Kufa city, unfortunately, didn't attract the same interest like Najaf. A lot of now thinking about Najaf and writing about Najaf and doing a lot about Najaf. But regarding Kufa, unfortunately, the situation is different. And maybe let me say that the Kufa city, which is the river beach, the Euphrates River beach, it has many changes, and many things from the heritage of the city will be lost because of this ignorance. So we think in going ahead in such projects, which and we mentioned some buildings like bathroom, public bathroom, and house, and mosque, and etc. And then the project will make use also of students to train them how to document, make a drawing for drawings for those old places, and then make an interview for the owners of those places, because they are private ownership, and try to also explore the value of those old buildings for them, and if they want to keep them or not, or maybe they are thinking in a new project, as I mentioned. And also the proposal, part of it is to review the curriculum of the colleges of archaeology and also of architecture, the architectural department, engineering college, and the College of Urban Planning, to see if the conservation topics, conservation of heritage buildings topics, are taught to people, we say, enough hours to make our graduates aware of the importance of conservation of heritage. This is a brief about this project.
In terms of your scholarship, what other institutions did you visit in the UK?
During my, it was one month and a half, but unfortunately I made use of only 1 month, the 2 weeks, just lockdown like other people in the UK because of COVID-19. In fact, I visited museums and many types of museums. For example, let me say the British Museum on one side, and also and maybe small museum, a community museum inside the Garden City of Letchworth. So it is a variety of museum, like science museum, like natural history, Victoria and Albert, and so on. So a lot of museum, and I like the diversity of those museum, and I want to make experience. To make use of how to make a museum touch the life of people, of nowadays people, and also of the past people and the coming people as well. And this is the first thing I did. And also, let me say, I attended many events, like, for example, a workshop held at UCL, School of Archaeology, which was how to deal with the decision makers regarding the heritage, how to make them change, for example, their ideas about the heritage, those decision makers like politicians and so on. I think it was also a good example. Even it only discussed the situation of UK. As you know, Iraq may be a little bit different from UK in this context. But it is important for me that, for example, how to use social media to have a campaign to make maybe a member in parliament change his mind, for example, and help to keep heritage in some way. The other event also, it was at the British Institute of Studies of Iraq. It was a lecture of Professor Postgate about his work in the south of Iraq. And also it was a good opportunity to meet him and meet those people, experts in working in British Institute of Studies of Iraq. And in fact, I planned during this event to visit Birmingham Museum and present a lecture there, but unfortunately this event was canceled because of the COVID-19. And also attended also many, for example, lectures or conferences, like the conference held for the PhD students of the Bartlett School of Architecture, where the students, we say, submitted their thesis and their work in a very lovely fair, and also presentations. And there are a lot of feedback for the professors attending this event about their work. And as I mentioned, some of them, those PhD students work in a similar thing, what I proposed, which is relating to the tangible to intangible heritage. Also, during the trip, I had the opportunity to participate in a workshop on heritage organized in Barcelona in Spain. It was a 2 days workshop, but it was really very valuable for me for many reasons. First is for introduce myself and also have good networking for other experts of heritage from other countries, from Libya, Syria, Yemen, and also from, let me say, like Netherlands, in addition to UK, of course, and Spain. And it is good networking for me to hear from them and also to hear what happened in those countries which are similar to Iraq from, we say, the situation. Also, they had problems, wars, and conflict always, and some of those countries are still in that situation. And the second reason which make this trip is very important for me to Spain is that visiting the old city of Barcelona, I can say honestly that the historic part of Barcelona is very similar to Najaf from the urban planning point of view, and also from the conservation. Maybe I can make a comparison between the two cities, even that it is the good example in Barcelona, but bad example in my city, Najaf. So I think that it was very good experience for me to have a tour inside the city, even it's maybe 2 days, but I can say maybe half of the photos I took in this trip, it was in Barcelona because of the similarity between Barcelona and Najaf. And maybe one of my coming articles to make comparison between the two cities, Barcelona and Najaf. And the third reason is to visit the history of Catalan. As you know, Barcelona is the main city in Catalonia. From my point of view, from my mind, it is look like similar to Kurdistan in Iraq. So for me, it is important to visit this place, the history of Catalan territory, and see how those people, or the Spanish people in Catalan, or the Catalan people, let me say like that, how they are, let me say, promote their cultural identity as, let me say, as a part of the community, of the Spanish community, how they can keep their, let me say, special identity or something related to their culture and to their past. And also it was good experience, the design of the museum and the way of keeping old things and the new things also is very important, added to me a lot.
And one final question. With the knowledge that you have, your experience working in Iraq, being Iraqi and seeing what's happening in the country and seeing what's happened in the country since 2003 and also before that, if you were to look at the next 20 years in Najaf, particularly in relation to its cultural heritage, say 20 years from now, what would Najaf look like?
I think the answer of this question depends on the first step. If your first step is right, you will go to the right direction and you will reach what you want to reach and with a good objective. But if the first step is bad, which is, for example, not part of a strategic plan of, let me say, a public policy from the government and so on, I think maybe the coming 20 years will be worse. Maybe we have situation worse than nowadays. Maybe lose all the old city. And many persons from 2003 till now are always talking about demolishing all the city and make it an open space like what happened in Mecca and Medina. So it depends on the good start, on the good plan should be put for to start it from now. I cannot expect exactly what will happen. I am always optimistic, and for me, as a professor at university or as a citizen in Iraq, I think we should not stop talking or asking or requiring and so on. Always we should move by speech, move by writing, move by events, move by campaigns. Also, always we should move forward. We should not give up. This is my law. This is my also recommendation for all Iraqi peoples, especially those who are working with heritage, should not give up. You should keep, because all nations are suffered for the same thing. And because of their insistence, because of their patience, they reach the good thing they want. But also we should do the same thing. We should continue. We should not give up.
On that note, Dr. Ali Naji, Kufa University, thank you very much for this opportunity to interview you for this podcast. I wish you luck and good wishes for your future work.
Also, I should thank you and thank all friends in Nahrain Network and the British Institute of Studies of Iraq who helped me, especially Professor Eleanor Robson, I think that's the president of Nahrain Network, and all others who helped me to succeed in this trip. And I'm sure that they will help me also in my future plans.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Bye-bye.